Last time on Jonathan Park and the rescue at Cerro Pedernal.
This is Jack Zane. I said if we lived through all that, I'd come and see your museum.
We want to buy the land the Brennan Museum of Creation sits on.
We're not ready to sell right now.
Well, I've just landed a fantastic new attraction.
What is it, Henry?
Helicopter rides.
Wow.
One loose bolt could bring the whole thing down.
We don't want to kill nobody.
Now, with his father's permission, Timmy's coming along.
Oh, no!
I'm cutting the fuel to the engine. We'll have to auto-rotate down.
Can you make it into the flats?
No, but maybe the High Mesa. It's going to be close. Watch out, everybody. We're going down. Hang on.
And now, part two of Jonathan Park and the rescue at Cerro Pedernal.
Oh, no! The chopper's gone down.
I saw it. It hit that mesa.
Do you think they're okay?
The only way to find out is to get up there. Come on.
What happened?
The chopper went down.
Do you have any ATVs around here?
Yeah, in the garage over there. The keys are hanging in the cabinet to the left. I'll take the service jeep.
What do you want me to do?
Henry, call 911. Tell them we've got a helicopter down on Cerro Pedernal.
We'll do.
Conrad, we'll need your EMT training.
Mariah, when the rescue teams arrive, you tell them which way we went.
You got it.
Timmy! Timmy, can you hear me? Timmy! Max!
I'm here, Dr. Park. Oh,
the boy's unconscious. And, oh, but he's breathing. Can you get him out?
I think I can if I reach over.
My leg! It's pinned down. I can't budge.
If I can get this door open.
Dr. Park, don't move. We're hanging off the cliff.
What's holding us?
I don't know, but the force broke out the windshield, and it's a drop hundreds of feet.
Dad?
It's Dr. Park, Timmy. Stay still. Are you badly hurt?
I don't know. I hit my head really hard, but I think I'm okay.
Oh, thank the Lord. We'd better stay put until help comes. Everything's gonna be all right, Timmy. Just relax and don't move.
Come on, Jeep. Don't fail me now.
It's too steep. We're not gonna make it.
We have to get up there. I can see from here. It's hanging over the edge. Come on. That's as far as we're gonna get. Or we'll risk tumbling down ourselves.
Here comes Jack, Conrad, and Priest.
Is that the best you can do, Morgan?
I can't get any further with the Jeep. Glenn, you and I will ride double with them. Be able to get the ATVs to that outcropping of rocks. Then we'll have to make it to the top on foot.
Sounds good.
I've got the first aid kit. Here, let's take these ropes and climbing gear.
We'll use them to secure the chopper. Hey, give me those pitons and hammers. Up there may not be anything to tie ropes to.
Here.
Miles. Service Jeep 3, do you copy?
Go ahead, Henry.
The fire department is sending an airlift chopper, but it's going to take some time to get here.
Time's not what we have. I can see the rocks falling from the ledge they're sitting on. It could go any moment. We're gonna have to get them out of there ourselves.
Let's get up there. Follow me.
Right behind you, Jack.
The helicopter was hanging off the edge of the mesa. The tail and landing skids were tangled in the rocks. They were the only things keeping the helicopter from falling off. The nose of the chopper was pointing straight down. And through the windshield, Dad and Mr. Nelson had a front row seat to a huge drop-off below.
Whoa! We're slipping even further.
Oh, my head.
Timmy, how are you holding up?
Okay, but I think I left my bike lock back home.
Huh? What's he talking about?
Oh, he's going into shock. Timmy, it's Dr. Park. Stay with us. Timmy, do you hear me?
Kendall, what's your situation in there?
Miles, the pilot's legs are pinned. And Timmy's going into shock. You need to try to find a way to keep us from slipping any further.
I'm on it. Priest, take these pitons and drive them into the rock over there. We'll tie this thing in place so it can't move.
Hold on in there, Kendall. We'll get you out.
Oh, glad you're here.
Hey, Daniel, throw me the other rope.
Here it is. Work fast.
Henry, what's the ETA on the rescue chopper?
About 7 minutes now.
We're tying down the chopper with climbing gear. Tell the emergency crews we have 2 injured people up here. They'll know what to do.
All right, we're about as secure as we can get.
I tried the door on the upper side. It's jammed tight where the fuselage buckled.
Yeah, it won't budge.
Then we have no choice. I'll swing out from the ledge and under the chopper, and we'll take them out through the windshield one by one.
That drop is several hundred feet. If something should go wrong...
So I won't look down. And help me into this harness.
So what's the plan, guys?
Jack's going to pretend he's a spider and take them out while hanging upside down in mid-air.
You got a better idea?
Well, frankly, no.
Then get the ropes ready to lower me down there. Kendall!
Jack!
How you guys doing? We got the copter all tied off. Let's get you guys out of here.
Timmy has a head injury. He needs medical attention fast. The whole thing could tear loose. Jack, get Timmy out of here.
Right. I'm gonna take the boy out through this hole in the windshield. Can you slip this climbing harness on it?
Okay, throw it to me. Whoa, are you sure you tied this thing right?
Work fast! One of the pitons pulled loose!
Whoa.
Only three more! Then we lose you!
Is the kid conscious?
Semi-conscious only. But he's delirious. Just one more strap. Okay, he's ready.
I don't want to go to the park, Daddy. I just want an ice cream.
Timmy, wake up. You're going to go with Mr. Zane. He's got you now.
Okay, Kendall. I have his harness attached to mine. Here, take this knife. When you cut through the kid's seatbelt, he's going to drop through the windshield. Then, we're both going to swing out together. Got it?
Are you sure you know what you're doing?
Oh, whoa. There's another piton! Get a move on!
On three, Kendall.
Jack, are you sure this is going to work?
Hey, I am a man of my word, remember?
Yeah, I remember. God be with you.
Okay. One, two, three! Whoa. Whoa.
Whoa. As soon as they got Timmy on the mesa, Conrad gave him first aid. And once the fire department rescue crew arrived, they airlifted Timmy to the hospital. Dad was just a little banged up, but it took more than another half hour to get Mr. Nelson free from the wreck.
Well, that's everybody. Now, maybe we can...
Stand back!
There it goes!
Oh, I'm sure glad we're not in there.
Timmy wasn't doing well. He had a severe concussion, and they weren't sure if he was going to be okay. Later that day, Pastor Fletcher met with Mr. Sherman in the waiting room of the hospital.
Dr. Brantley,
John, I came as soon as I heard. Brantley, Lorraine's with your wife. How's Timmy?
Thank you so much for coming, Pastor Fletcher. He's still not responsive. The doctor said that all we can do is wait.
The Lord will take care of him, John.
Oh, I hope so. Oh, God, I'm asking you for your help.
Don't doubt the Lord, John. He loves Timmy.
I've been a friend of Kendall's for a long time, and we've seen God do some amazing things with Thad and Timmy on the creation response team. I guess I just never thought something like this would really ever happen.
I'm sorry, John.
I thought I was secure in my faith, Pastor, but, well, something like this really tests it.
I understand. John, it was the same when Lorraine was battling cancer. Here I was, preaching God's word every week. But when she got sick, I had to ask myself what I really believed.
But now I start to question what I know. What if, like you say, that God does allow pain as part of his natural world?
When did I ever say that?
Well, many times you've said there were millions of years prior to Adam and Eve, and that pain, death, suffering were just part of God's process of creation.
But God hates death and will someday conquer it.
I was just reading Matthew 10:29. It says, "Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall to the ground without your father." And yet sparrows do die all the time. I'm a police officer. I see horrible things. What if instead of death being the result of man's sin, instead it was God's original design for nature? Then does it reflect the very nature of God himself? And that death is just natural?
John, I think you're taking this too far. God wants the best for Timmy.
I believe he does. But what if I'm wrong? What if God did use pain, death, and suffering in his creation process? What if that's who he is?
John, I feel unprepared for these questions, but I am here to encourage you to pray for Timmy. Trust God. He is in control.
Pastor Fletcher, I know you're trying, and trust me, I appreciate that. But you see my struggle. Somehow I find myself thinking through what you've taught, questioning the very nature of God, wondering if he even cares if Timmy is suffering.
I'm sorry if I've communicated that. You must trust in Jesus, John. He has a plan for Timmy.
I pray that he can and will do something. That's my son in there, Pastor, my little boy. You have a son. You know how much you love your son. If I lose him, how can... Oh, God, help me, please.
John, you must... You have to... Oh, John.
They're not going to sue?
No. Turns out the boy who was hurt in the crash was a friend of the family.
How about the media? I made sure to give him a report.
Didn't hardly do a thing. It was mentioned briefly in the Santa Fe News. But it looks like the FAA is going to put it down as an equipment malfunction.
Ugh, that's just fine. Well, Chester, you're going to have to come up with something else.
Look, Diltz, I told you I didn't want any rough stuff. I said...
Yes, but it was your men who came up with this plan. If you want something, Chester, you have to work for it.
I'm not going to prison for this. No oil is worth that to me.
Do you want the oil, or don't you?
But what if the boy doesn't make it?
Get one of your men in the museum. I want to know what's going on there.
Now remember, you promised to take care of me if anything went wrong.
Of course. After all, Chester, I'd never let a friend down.
Thanks, Diltz. I'll talk to you soon.
Oh, poor Chester. He doesn't realize I don't have any friends.
Good morning, Kendall.
Good morning, Pastor.
Oh, I should introduce you. This is my daughter, Jenny.
Hi.
It's nice to meet you. Please feel free to make yourselves at home.
Kendall, how are you doing after your adventure yesterday?
I feel horrible. I never should have put him in that helicopter.
Kendall, you had no way of knowing it was going to crash.
Kendall!
Good morning, Jack. I see everyone's here.
Hello.
Hey.
Good to see you again, Kendall.
Well, I'm just so glad to have all of you here at the museum. Well, let me show you around.
I've heard a lot about this place. I'm looking forward to it.
Sounds wonderful.
Why, Pastor Fletcher, it's good to see you again.
Hello, Dr. Priest. It's good to see you too.
Follow me.
Oh, pardon me.
Yes?
Do you have a map of the museum? I think I'm a little turned around.
Of course. Here you go. I'm Jessie Brennan. And aren't you Pastor Fletcher's daughter?
Yes, I'm Jenny.
I've seen you at church. It's nice to finally meet you. Here, let me show you around.
Thank you so much. The museum's really impressive.
Oh, thank you. We've worked hard on it. We thank the Lord for all his blessings.
I love this area. It reminds me of where we used to live, in Texas. I rode my horse all around there and loved it.
You like horses? That is awesome. We should go riding together sometime.
Oh, I'd love that.
My horse is Dusty. Hey, do you want to meet her?
Sure.
Come on, I'll introduce you to her.
How's the work coming?
Pretty good. We're right on schedule for completing this room, surprisingly.
All except for this piece of sheetrock. Randall, you forgot to measure a hole for the power outlet.
Oh, no. We'd better put the wallboard down until I can make some accurate measurements.
You don't have to do that. The studs in the building are every 16 inches, and the outlet is bolted to the stud. If you just take the size of the outlet, trace it onto the back of the wallboard...
Or, to get an even more exact measurement, we could always set up a laser line.
Actually, I think I can just eyeball it with this reciprocating saw.
Mary, you're kidding, right?
No, I'm not. If I just...
No, Mary, you have to measure.
Oh, no, Mary, don't do it.
No.
There we are. Isn't that what you wanted?
Let's tilt her up and see if she fits. Gentlemen? That's exactly what we wanted.
A perfect fit.
Incredible.
My daddy always did say I had dead-eye aim. Anything else, gentlemen?
Hi, everyone.
Howdy.
Hello?
How's everything coming on the pastor's study?
Coming along just fine. At the rate we're going, we should have that rough work done in just a few days. Then Stephen here, he'll install the wiring for the touchscreen display.
Thank you all so much. You guys are really doing a great job.
Any change, Doctor?
No, Mr. Sherman. I'm sorry.
I see.
We're doing all we can.
I know you are. Thank you, Doctor. Timmy's life is in God's hands. God, please help me to accept that, whatever the outcome.
Now let's take a look at the big question. I've shown you a few examples in our displays of how fossils don't take millions of years to form. I've also shown you how dating methods often give contradictory dates.
Yes, yes, you've trotted out all the familiar creationist evidence. But still, the overwhelming evidence is that God used millions of years to make his creation.
This is very fascinating. I love hearing both opinions on this.
Seems like you've attracted quite a crowd.
This is fascinating. We're all enjoying this.
No kidding. The blood's in the water and the sharks are circling.
Kendall, you continue to ignore the 67th book of the Bible, nature itself. But God's the author of both the scripture and of nature.
Yeah. Kendall, our understanding of God's word must be tempered by the reality of what we know to be true from nature.
Well, I'd like to make an illustration based on an article I read from our friends at Answers in Genesis. What if you found an abandoned house left behind in a field? What if it was your job to come up with the reason it was there? Describe who lived there and why they left.
Well, if we found something like dolls and some other toys in one of the rooms, we could conclude that at least one little girl lived there.
Well, that's good.
If the well was dried up, we could theorize they left because they ran out of water.
Wow, I like this crowd participation.
Yes. Kendall, this proves my point. You could use the physical evidence to build a case just like science can help us interpret God's word.
Okay, but what if I told you that in the house we found a diary, and in that written record we learned that a toy maker lived there alone, and he left for the city where he believed his business would thrive. He didn't leave because of the well.
Well, now you have an actual account written by eyewitnesses that were there.
So while we can learn a lot from what we currently observe, science, the Bible's written account helps us to clearly know which ideas are historically accurate and which are wrong theories.
But I still disagree with you about the age of the Earth.
Well, Daniel, all scientists have access to the same evidence. One side uses it to make a case for an old Earth, the other for a young. So what is the final authority?
The written account.
Exactly. And then science becomes the amazing journey of understanding the specifics of how God did what he claims in his word.
Dad was just finishing his tour with the Explorer Society when Pastor Fletcher caught up to him for a brief moment.
Kendall?
Yes, Pastor?
I'm ready to listen.
What do you mean?
Watching you and Dr. Priest made me realize that his case for the old Earth is based solely on scientific interpretations. Further, over the last couple of days, God's been showing me that this is very important. I'm ready to talk through Genesis with you.
You know, with all that's happening to Timmy and the museum, things are busy for me right now, but are you willing to start meeting on a regular basis?
I'd love to.
Okay. Well, we can talk about this later then. I've got a quick meeting and then I better get back to the hospital.
Oh, Kendall? Andre's already here. He wanted to see the whole board, so I told him to wait in the conference room.
Okay. Talk to you soon, Pastor Fletcher.
Talk to you then.
Oh, hey, Jim, Miles, let's get in there and see what he wants this time.
Who's Andre?
Oh, he came by the other day and he wants to buy out the museum.
You're not thinking of selling, are you?
No, but he was real persistent. He wouldn't take no for an answer.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Good afternoon, Andre. You've changed a little since the last time we saw you.
You!
Why, Miles, you remember me.
How could I forget?
You two know each other?
I'll say. It's been a while. Derek Diltz.
Derek Diltz? The head of Rocket Ship One?
Correction. Though I maintain considerable stock in the company, I am no longer the CEO.
Sure. What are you trying to pull, Diltz?
Why, I'm not trying to pull anything. If anyone should be under suspicion, I think it'd be you, Jailbird.
Why, you...
Take it easy, Miles. What exactly do you want, Diltz?
Just this. I offered to buy a museum, and my offer still stands.
Why would we accept it?
because your operation's starting to fail. It would be wiser to accept my offer while you can, not when you must.
What's that supposed to mean?
You've had a lot of trouble recently. If you turn down my offer, you might have more.
Are you threatening us?
I've offered you 4 times what this homely piece of land is worth.
What do you want it for?
That's my business. The choice is yours. A bird in the hand is worth 2 in the bush. You can either accept my offer and leave here wealthy men, or you can watch this museum shrivel and die until it isn't worth the dirt it sits on.
The answer is no.
Fine. But you'll regret it. You just wait. Soon the Brennan Museum of Creation will be only a loving memory.
Dr. Robert.
Thanks for sitting here with me, Kendall. Jonathan.
You're welcome. Timmy's one of my best friends.
John, I know Timmy's your son, but I love him like he was my own. Your family's been such a blessing to us.
I also appreciate you answering some of my deeper questions. Nice to be reminded about the importance of trusting the scriptures.
No problem. Listen, trials like this always cause us to grow deeper in our faith.
Mr. Sherman?
Yes?
It's your son, Mr. Sherman. He's...
He's gone, isn't he?
No, Mr. Sherman. He's awake. He's asking for you.
He is? Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Lord.
He is! That's wonderful! Yes, I'll tell Dennis right away. All right. Goodbye. Dennis, Timmy's going to be all right.
Oh, thank you, Lord. Oh.
Dennis, isn't it wonderful? Timmy's going to be all right.
Yes, dear. It is. Yes, it's wonderful.
Dennis. Dennis, what's wrong? You don't seem happy or relieved.
No, I am so grateful. But, Lorraine, I've realized something.
What is it?
Mr. Sherman doubted God because I had sown those seeds. And from the pulpit, I had no idea. What have I done?
Honey, you'd never purposely lead someone to doubt.
But I'm afraid I have unknowingly.
Hi, Timmy.
Hi, guys. The whole Eagle's Nest is here.
And the Explorers Society, too.
Mr. Zane, thank you so much for rescuing me.
Nah, don't mention it.
We're glad to see you're doing so well.
The doctor says I'm going to be up and around soon.
That concussion could have been real trouble.
Timmy, we brought you something.
What is it?
Well, open it up and see.
Wow, it's an Eagle's Nest pin.
Just like the one you guys gave me on the space mission.
We thought you ought to have one.
Thanks, guys. You're the best.
Attention, flight 201 to Orlando.
Well, that's our flight, Kendall. Thanks for taking us to the airport.
How glad to do it. It was so great to see you again.
You too. Say goodbye to everyone else for us.
We'll see you in Florida.
Remember, the Nature Adventure Channel needs us live on the night they air the piece about Snake Island.
All right, we'll see you in the studio in a few days.
All right, we'll see
goodbye.
You.
Bye.
So long. Take care of yourself.
Oh, this is beautiful!
Balloon rides. This is just what we needed.
It's perfect. Because whenever anyone thinks of New Mexico, they think of hot air balloons.
And I think balloons are a much better idea than helicopters.
Yeah. And look at the line of people down there.
It's been like this all day.
It's nice to be up here in the peace and quiet. Dad, what are you going to do about Derek Dilts?
I don't know, son. We'll just have to take it all one moment at a time. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew 6:34.
I sure do, Dad. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thoughts for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof.
No matter what happens, God will work his plan.
At least we've achieved one goal, a great new attraction for the museum. This is amazing.
Floating up there in the sky, I knew everything was going to be okay. We had once again become the Eagle's Nest. And our friend Timmy had a close call, and his dad's faith was challenged, but both would come out stronger. Pastor Fletcher had agreed to start meeting regularly with Dad. Everything was starting to look up. And at the time, I had no idea that the biggest challenges were still ahead.
You've been listening to Jonathan Park and the rescue at Cerro Pedernal. Although the story is fictitious, many of our adventures are based on real places, historical events, or scientific discoveries. To learn more about Jonathan Park and evidence for creation, please visit our website at jonathanpark.com. You'll also find additional resources that will help you see and understand how science is in complete agreement with God's Word. That's jonathanpark.com. Be sure to listen to the next album in the Journey Home series as the Creation Response team plumbs to the depths of Hidden Cave to make an incredible discovery in Jonathan Park and the Passage into the Deep.
Until next time, this is Dr. Kendall Park reminding you, this is our Father's world. God created it. We can explore it. So live the adventure.